Let us pray. Merciful and heavenly Father, our Father, hallowed be your name. Tonight, rightfully, we pray for the crops, our food which you provide, which we need to be able to live. We need, as we have life, to glorify you. We need that strength for our employment. We need strength for our businesses. And Father, we pray that you will bless our employment and you will bless the businesses we run and that we're involved with in. We do not just pray for crops, businesses, and employment here in Manitoba, and specifically southern Manitoba, but we pray for crops, employment, and businesses in this world. We hear of the crisis in the Ukraine, a horrific war that has consequences not only in Ukraine, but around this world. It affects us here in this congregation. And if it does not affect us here with family ties, it will affect us economically. So we stop in our prayer to remember the Ukraine and the devastation it is going through. Father, the food you give to the world to feed it, much of that comes through that nation. Now, due to the wickedness of man and the desire to fight, that food is not available to much of the world. Starvation is a reality. Extreme high prices for food will be the result. And this conflict man has with each other is evident even in the workforce here as well. Conflict creating strikes and labor unrest. Please prevent Manitoba from this unrest and all your children here in Providence Reformed Church as well. We remember our farmers, and they're about to plant. What do they plant? What herbicides and fertilizers do they use? What is the moisture content of the ground now? What moisture will we receive? These questions without answers can become very troublesome, and anxiety can settle in. Bless our crops. Bless our farmers. Bless us that we trust you. And we think of our farmers who have livestock, that they're given insight on how to feed and giving the resources to feed those animals and how to breed them as well. Bless our businesses within this congregation that they prosper. Bless our employment within the companies we all work in, whether they are from companies whose presidents are members of this of Providence Reformed Church or other companies or even Crown corporations or even the government. Bless us as employers that we are a blessing to our employees and that our employees are a blessing to the employers. We pray for unity, unity in families, and unity in church, even Providence. Forgive us where this is not present and work within us that unity is sought. Bless the messages your servant will bring to us all this evening. Father, give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit desires to give us to your glory, to the glory of your name, and for the edification and the strengthening of each of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name alone. Amen.
I'll invite you to turn in your Bibles once again to this time to the Psalms. Psalm 62 is what we're going to be focusing on tonight. Just briefly, Psalm 62. And that's found on page 659 of the Pew Bible. Psalm 62, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they're weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than a vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. That ends the reading of God's word. May he bless that in our hearing. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we look at our Bibles and were to ask ourselves the question, what two words did the Lord speak to call for faith in him? What would they be? What two words does the Lord speak from his word that encourages us to trust in him? The words that I'm thinking of are, fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jesus used this word, these words as well, as we think of some of the things that he said. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. The Lord would have us put aside any trust in riches or wealth or looking up to people like celebrities, trusting in them, or in human power like our own vain strength. Instead, place our trust in him alone. In this psalm, David celebrates his security in God, his rock, and he's resolved to trust in God alone or only, to trust God always, and to trust God instead of man. And as we look at the first eight verses now, there's a reoccurring and repeated word that is found there, which is the word alone. Verse 1, truly, or as it could be actually translated, alone, my soul silently waits for God. Verse 2, he only, or he alone, is my rock and my salvation. Verse 5, my soul waits silently for God alone. And then verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. And so we could see that this is the way that the psalmist is replying to those words of the Lord, fear not. David is delivered from fear by trusting only in God. His mind does not dwell on his own strength or weakness, or on the strategies of the wicked, or on his dire circumstances. Instead, he thinks about God and finds that his heart is made calm. That's something we need to learn to do as well. to trust God alone. As one writer put it, as I see it, our problem is not that we do not trust God, at least in some sense. We have to do that in order to be Christians. To become a Christian, you have to trust God in the matter of salvation, at least. It's rather that we do not trust God alone. Meaning that we want to add something else to trust as well. Many Christians today seek answers to their problems not in the Bible or through prayer, but through human solutions. They depend solely on self-help techniques or mere psychological counseling or mystical experiences, not to mention wealth or worldly pleasures, relationships with others. Now, that's not to say we rule out the legitimate sources of help. You know, if we need to seek that medical attention, we go to the doctor. Or if we need work, we go to the employment service to find a job. And yet when it comes to our basic security in life, provision for our true needs like bread and clothing and a roof over our heads, Christians should not trust in the world, but rely on the Lord alone, who is our rock and our salvation. We may have a lot of unanswered prayers. Some things don't make sense to us. Sometimes we may want to take a trip into heaven and, you know, see what God has intended for us. What's the future going to look like? So that we can bypass all the unknowns. Because life can sometimes be overwhelming. And yet, it is God's help that we need. It really is a betrayal of the Lord when we don't trust Him. One of the early Bible teachers, he said, and this is a quote in Spurgeon's Treasury of David on the Psalms, a man by the name of John Trapp, he says, "They trust not God at all who trust Him not alone." They trust not God at all who trust Him not alone. Now, this really shouldn't be a surprise to us, because if we think of the reformers, remember what they believed in. They talked about sola scriptura, the scriptures alone, you know, because it's through them that we draw our message and our methods of understanding salvation, which alone is revealed in God's word to us. And added to that term, sola, we have those other well-known statements, sola fide, sola gratia, solus Christus. And through that, we understand that it's by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. Those phrases state that we're justified through Christ alone. The key term there is the word alone. So what happens when we take that away and remove it all together? Would it be Scripture alone? Would that be biblical? Would we be saying Scripture? Sure, but you know, you can have these other books as well, the Quran or the Book of Mormon. Or you could say we need to have faith, but faith in what? Faith in yourself? Well, then you start sounding like Disney. You just have to believe in yourself. No, we need to trust in God alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation, David said. We receive our salvation from sin by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Last night for our devotions at our consistory meeting, we began with the words of Habakkuk 3. Habakkuk 3, that's an unusual hymn of praise that comes from the prophet Habakkuk during a very trying time. Though the fig tree will not blossom and there be no fruit on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's a very unusual song of praise uttered by a prophet through a very difficult time. But yet he put his trust in the Lord alone. And considering all that's going on in the world right now, which we just prayed for, all the troubles that we've faced, you know, going through years of the virus and all of the upheaval and the hardship that has come because of that, and then the horrific scenes of the attacks on Ukraine on the news, and now with inflation, rising costs of housing, rising costs of groceries, rising costs of fuel, rising costs of natural gas to heat your house. These are trying times. And our faith is being tested. But what will help us? Who will help us? We can receive God's help when we seek our Father in prayer, like the psalm writer did here, like the prophet did. We receive help when we turn to our Father in heaven and seek His grace in prayer. And we receive God's help when we turn again to His Word to be filled. Because man does not live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So how about us tonight? Is the Lord our portion? Or are we leaning too much on the food pantry or the money that we have in the bank account? Or are we putting our trust in God's perfect salvation? We have to learn to rejoice in the Lord. We have to learn to depend more on Him and His promises. May the Lord help us to do that as we continue to look to Him in prayer. We'll now have some prayer for our diaconal causes, and that will be led by Luke Vandenberg.
Shall we pray? O Lord, our God and Father in heaven, as we've already heard, you are the Lord that provides for the needs of the whole world. And Father, that makes it all the more wonderful that you choose to keep us here at Providence in your divine care as well. We are truly blessed to continue to meet our basic budget and needs, but so much more than that, we are blessed to support other causes and through them help spread your gospel and care for your people. Lord, we think first of the missionary causes we support, some here in Canada, others around the world. We pray, Father, that you will continue to guide and bless the work of these men and their families as they work to bring your word to those that may not otherwise get to hear it. We know at times they work in environments that can be hostile to your word, or at times it may feel like they aren't having an impact. May you, Lord, be with these men and bring them strength to provide fruit to their efforts. And Father, may you continue to use us here to help by remembering these missionaries in our prayers and to continue to generously support them financially to ensure that they continue to do your work. Father, we think also of the more local causes we support, such as Cornerstone Christian Care Society, Union Gospel Mission, the Crisis Pregnancy Center, and others. May you keep these organizations in your hands too. We think especially now of the Crisis Pregnancy Center and the fears they face of losing their charitable status and the impact that that would have on them. May they continue to find strength and comfort in you, and may we continue to do all we can to support them and these other agencies that work hard to care for your people who find themselves in difficult circumstances. And Lord, along with this, we do also pray that you will watch over us right here in this congregation. Father, we never want to lose sight of the needs here among our own church family. We think of those that for various reasons, be it age or health or otherwise, are no longer able to attend services. May they still feel a part of this body. We think of those that are struggling in any way, be it emotional, financial, or some other way. May this congregation be a hand to those who need it. Father, may those who need it not feel ashamed to ask for help. Whether it is financial, whether it's a visit or something more practical like providing meals or even something as simple as a phone call. Lord, there can be so many needs, and we know that as sinful people, we often need you to open our eyes and our hearts to these needs that we may give of our time and our talents to see them filled. We pray that you will use not just the deacons, but all of us to fill these needs where we can. Lord, we pray too for our deacons as they work hard to see this work done as the ministry of mercy. May they have the support of the congregation, and may they have a measure of your grace to do this work. And may the congregation know that the deacons are there to help and never be afraid to ask. These things we pray not in our own strength or our own deserving, but in the only name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Amen.
This brings us to our second meditation on Psalm 62 as we look at the second half of the psalm. The first half of the psalm speaks about our trust in God alone. The second half speaks of trust in God or the Lord always, trusting him always. We're to trust in God and not in people. We see that in verse 9 where it says, "Surely men of low degree are a vapor, men of high degree are a lie. If they're weighed on the scales, they're altogether lighter than vapor." So here David is speaking of two extremes, the high and the low. They're different. And he says, though, that the low are a breath. They're just a vapor. But the high are a delusion. What ties them together is that they are not to be trusted. That's David's point. David imagines a set of scales. You know those kind of scales where you put a dead weight on one of the trays, and then you put the item that you're weighing out, a product, on the other plate, and they balance out. You got the dead weight and the product, and they're supposed to even out. Often that type of scale is used as an image for the scales of justice, like a seesaw or a teeter-totter. Well, if you put both the high and the low on the scales, this is what he's saying, they're going to fly off. They're not going to be able to stay on because they don't have any weight. They're nothing. And the point is not that man is unable to do anything, but rather that what man can do is utterly insufficient to meet the needs of our souls. The point is not so much that we have nothing to fear from man, so much as that we have nothing to hope from him. So the point of this contrast is not between man and our needs, but it's between man and God. It's this weighing out of the two. When you think of God as the rock, as steadfast, immovable, a mighty fortress, then man is like a frayed rope. You know, you can cast that line of safety or that lifeline to someone in need, but man is a weak link on the strand. It's like, again, the seesaw or the teeter-totter. They go up and down, and children play on them. You know, one side goes up, the other side's down, and then the other side goes up, and the other side is down. When one is up, the other is down. Well, this teeter-totter theology is applied to our view of God next to man. When one is up, the other is down. And we see this working in the lives of liberal Christians who can greatly admire the moral conceptions of worldly culture, but don't think well of Scripture. We see that teeter-totter in those who trust in human works for salvation and downplay the sufficiency of Christ, the grace that we have in Him. You can put our faith in, we can put our faith in man's ideas and be impressed by human ingenuity. But what is human pomp and pride next to the Lord? You see, the Lord tips the scales. All liars are like a leaning wall and a tottering fence, verse 3 says. But you can always trust in the Lord. He is sufficient. I came across this quote from another writer and pastor, James Boyce, who's written a commentary on the Psalms. He describes what our trust in the Lord can be like. He says, people will always let us down. They're sinners, as we are. They cannot be trusted. But even if they could be, they are still but a breath and are quickly taken away and are gone. If God has given you faithful and good friends or a loving life companion, thank Him for it. It's a great gift, but do not place your deepest hope in man. Instead, trust Him who is eternal and unchanging, and you will never be shaken when people disappoint you. And that's what this psalm says as well, verse 10. Do not trust in oppression, nor vanity, nor vainly rather hope in robbery. If riches increased, do not set your heart on them. Instead of trusting man and tolerating sin, David turns his gaze again on the Lord, verses 11 and 12. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. And so he emphasizes this. This is kind of the climax of the psalm. By saying that God has spoken once and twice, what's being stated there? Well, David is emphasizing that the complete reliability on God's truth. It's kind of like when Jesus would say, truly, truly, I say to you. Or, verily, verily, as the old language would say, the old English. God has spoken, and it's totally reliable. There are two things that he says here at the end that are reliable. One is God's power, and secondly, God's mercy. Do we need salvation? Do we need deliverance? Do we need strength? Do we need help? Indeed, we do. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here tonight praying. Remember in our prayers tonight and in all our lives that power belongs to who? Not man, but to God. There's no weight which He cannot lift, or there's no weight that can remove the power of God. There are no circumstances that can change this fact. There's no attack against us, or against the church at large for that matter, which is unable to stop the Lord. He's able to defend. And also, he adds that wonderful blessing of God's mercy. The Hebrew word here is the word chesed, which we have brought up before. It's a word that's used often in the Old Testament Hebrew. It means, hesed means God's covenant mercy and faithfulness. It is his steadfast love and mercy, a love that is steadfast, a love extended to all who belong to him by faith in Jesus Christ. You can see how both of these are needed. If God had power but no mercy, he would be unable to save mankind, but he would have no inclination to do so. If God was just mercy and no power, he might desire to save, but he wouldn't be able to do it. Thankfully, God is both all-powerful and compassionate, and therefore, he has reached out to save us and has been successful in doing this through his Son. And then there's that concluding thought, verse 12. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. David's not thinking here that, you know, we're saved by our works. That would be a contradiction of the Psalms, and it would be a contradiction of Scripture. Instead, he's simply bringing attention to the fact that God will make restitution for all that man has wickedly done and bring to judgment every sin that is not cleansed by his chesed, by his covenant mercy extended through Jesus Christ. And in that way, all those who belong to him will stand on the day of judgment, as Psalm 1 says. They've been sufficiently provided for, as Romans 8 says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Right? It's God who justifies. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Romans 8. And it's for this reason that we can be confident for the future until the end of time. So how about you? Are you praying tonight with that confidence in him, resting in the finished work of Christ? We are to trust in God alone, and we're to trust in him always. Trust in him at all times. That's what verse 8 says. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Amen. Now at this time, we'll be praying for the health and welfare of the nation, as well as the work of missions, and that will be led by Elder Joe Reuter.
Providential care over all your creation and over your church. You are the great King over all the earth. We thank you for our freedom to assemble as a church and our freedom to worship together. We thank you for our Judeo-Christian heritage and our constitutional democracy. We thank you for our homes and our communities. We are so very blessed to live in Canada and here in Manitoba, and we thank and praise you for these great gifts. We realize our complete dependence on you, and so we pray for the health and welfare of our nation. We ask that you would preserve us and our communities through another year, giving us our daily bread. God, our King, we pray for our Majesty, Queen Elizabeth. We thank you for giving her another year as we celebrate her 96th birthday today and her 70-year reign. Please continue to bless her with good health and use her faith in you and her Christian influence in the rest of the royal family and throughout her realm. We pray for our Governor General, Mary Simon, that she may also be aware of your will and act justly as she represents the Queen and signs bills into law. We pray for our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, that you would give him awareness of you as a holy God. Father, give him wisdom to lead justly. May his view of leadership and government reflect your word. And if he will not, we pray for a Prime Minister and government who will submit to you and honor your law. We confess that our nation has strayed from your will. Canadian justice does not apply to the unborn. Assisted suicide is promoted. Biblical views of marriage and family and sexuality are not followed. We confess our lack of concern and action as your people. We pray for a grassroots revival, for all Canadians and Canadian leaders to come to repentance and faith in you. We pray for wisdom and justice in our Senate and House of Commons. May poor laws be struck down and vague definitions receive true meaning. We pray for boldness and courage for our Christian representatives and that their Christian witness will be effective. Merciful God, we pray for our provincial leaders. We ask that you would guide Premier Heather Stephenson in her work. Give her discernment to navigate through difficult issues. We pray for our provincial government and for our MLAs. We pray for health and strength for MLA James Tytsma and his continued work to influence and lead. We pray for Winnipeg Mayor Brian Bauman and the city councillors and our local civic leaders who do much mundane and necessary work to preserve our quality of life. God of justice and mercy, we bring before you in prayer our magistrates and our police services. We pray for our Supreme Court, those 9 justices. They have such a difficult task. Remind them of your law as they work, reading the Constitution in light of your word. We also thank you for those among us who work in the police services. Their work is often thankless, and we ask that you would please protect both physically and emotionally those who protect us and give them patience as they implement law and order in our society. Grant us patience and have us remember in prayer these servants you have placed over us for our good. O Lord, our healer, we thank you for our quality of life, and we pray for your continued preservation of our security and freedom. We thank you for those who work in health care. The past year has been very difficult, so we pray for less stress on our health care system, for less infection and physical suffering among us, and that the backlog of surgical procedures would be able to be processed. We pray for reduced stress and work relief for the many of our church members who work in healthcare. Please bless the work of all healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, first responders, emergency services. We often take these blessings for granted. So now we ask that you preserve these services and bless those who work in them. O King of all, guide and protect your church throughout this year, giving your people continued freedom to preach and share the gospel and be witnesses of your great love to others. Help us to offer gospel hope and joy through the year in our interactions with our neighbors and our co-workers. We pray that faithful churches in Canada would be protected and would be able to freely proclaim both your law and your gospel. We pray that you would keep us as a nation safe from natural disasters, such as floods, tornadoes, hurricanes. If you decide to send them, may many see your power and a sign of future judgment without your grace. May we, your church, show compassion and help in times of calamity. Have us live quietly to mind our own affairs. May our country allow us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you, our God. Lord of the harvest, you would have us pray earnestly that laborers be sent into the harvest. We thank you that your heart is for the lost and that you call all men to you. We pray that the work of missions be successful and that you would preserve those whom you have sent through your church to work in the mission field, both locally and abroad. We pray for foreign mission work. We thank you that our denomination can be present in 7 foreign countries. We pray for laborers sent into Costa Rica, Ecuador, Honduras, India, Italy, the Philippines, and Mexico. We pray that God would send many more laborers into the field from our denomination and other faithful churches. We bring before you in prayer Pastor James Folkerts in Uganda as he teaches and preaches. May you protect him as he serves you there and protect his family. Father, we think of the past year. We pray that you would keep him safe and out of harm's way, and that you would bless him and his family in his work. We think of the sacrifices that these men make, sacrifices they make with their families as they give up many conveniences. We pray, Lord, that you would protect Brother Bryce Clausen working in Lithuania, transporting goods into Ukraine and refugees out. Please keep him alert in his long drives and in his work with the Reformation Church of Lithuania. We pray for our church plants in Canada and in the U.S. May God use our federation to reach the nations of immigrants within our own borders. There are so many places right now here in North America that do not have a faithful Christian church. Father, please bless the work of ordained men who are working to establish churches. Keep them spiritually and emotionally healthy through their long hours of work, and bless the families of these men who sacrifice so many conveniences. We thank you for the work of our missions coordinator, Pastor Richard Bout. Please keep him healthy and give him the energy he needs for his hard work of managing mission. Please bless him and his travels. We think of other missions. Father, we pray for Brother Matt Halleck and his work with CCBR. May you bless this mission as it's reaching out to defend life, one conversation at a time. We ask for your blessing in the ministry of Mr. Lyle and Mrs. Kathy Halleck as they work to establish orphanages abroad through LAM International. There are so many missions, Father. Help us keep in prayer throughout the year. And as we continue through this year, may we be your people who pray, whom you use to extend and grow your kingdom. Help us support our country's leaders and honor them, even when we disagree. Bless the work of our deacons as they manage collections for missions, and have us give our time, talents, and resources cheerfully for your kingdom work. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.